Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, ugh, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams, whew,
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
Yeah, this is Tyrone Tracy Jr., and you're listening to Roster Watch.
Ladies and gentlemen, citizens of the universe, this is Roster Watch. My name is Alex Dunlap. I'm joined by the good doctor, Dr. David Chow. He really needs no introduction around here. He's been a frequent guest on the radio show, on the podcast, and on the YouTubes. But if you don't know him, you can find him on X at Pro Football Doc. Doc, how are you, brother? So good to see you.
I'm doing well. I'm actually trying to recover a little bit. I took a little trip to Canton this weekend, and you know, I was in, as you would say, an energetic weekend with some old friends, etc.
Catching up with some old friends.
Catching up with some old friends, and it was great to see Gates, and he gave a nice shout out. It was much appreciated. Great to see Gates. I confirmed my Gates story. I've been wanting to confirm this for a while, but I figured after he got in the Hall of Fame, it was time. His first game ever, breakout game with the Chargers, his rookie year, he was playing, but, you know, a couple catches a game. There was a national anthem singer that sang, and she was great, and she had Jersey 85 on, and I pointed out to him that that wasn't Seau 55, Harrison 37, and he got double-digit catches and over 100 yards that game. You can look it up at home. The problem was the little girl singing the national anthem was actually wearing last year's Tim Dwight jersey, number 85, and it wasn't even Gates' jersey. And so some of the, you know, we were ribbing him behind the scenes on that. And he confirmed that he remembered that story. So it was fun and well worth going, but little tired.
Yeah, all right. Well, so we got to remind everybody, though, like your website now, of course, make sure to follow Doc on X. He's going to, throughout the course of the season, he is the guy to go to for your injury news, like right then. Man, he's got him and his team of dudes that hang out in their war room during the NFL games. If there's injuries that happen, they can watch him on screen. Doc was a NFL team doctor, I guess.
Head team physician for 17 years for the San Diego Chargers.
The San Diego Superchargers. So you're hearing from a guy that has all of the expert insight that you could ever imagine. He can do, it's amazing how he can just look at like the video and just say like, oh, that was some kind of AC joint sprain. Like it's really crazy. So make sure and follow him there for that. But also his website is sportsinjuriescentral6score.com. I'll stick up a QR code here on the side for the people watching on YouTube, but for the people listening on the audio side, you can just go to 6score.com. You can sign up for a free account there. You can get all the docs, expert injury analysis data and injury-based projections, but also they have a special offer right now. You can use the promo code RosterWatch and get $100 off of a Sick Picks annual subscription. That includes full premium access to Sports Injury Central all year. You get Doc's 2025 preseason football injury preview, which I have, and I've been reading. It's Doc, that thing is that's a substantial undertaking. That thing's like 70 pages long, dude. But
it is a substantial undertaking. And, you know, what we try and do is get people a look on the way into the season where we're at. And then we take off from there. It's kind of a, you know, just a Bible for injuries for fantasy or for futures. It's a starting point for everything. And thank you for all the nice words. But what we do differently than everyone else is we don't do injury reporting. Schefter, Rap Sheet, all the beat reporters, they do injury reporting. We do injury analysis. And what's the fundamental difference? It's not what the coaches are saying or telling media. It's what we think about it. What is the story? I'm sure we'll talk about Matthew Stafford, you know, and there's a lot of, and we interpret what we call coach speak. And even when ammonia inhalants or whatever are, quote, banned, and that was the news, we were out there saying, not really banned. And now we know that they're not really banned. They're just teams aren't supplying the ammonia inhalant. So we try and interpret with insider knowledge, not insider information, but insider knowledge of having been on the other side, on the team side of injuries and so forth.
Well, Doc, I mean, obviously this is fantasy focused stuff and people want to hear about the players, but like, I'm just, I can't help it. Like, I'm kind of interested about the smelling salts thing. Like, can you tell us what that all means?
Common. They're very common to sidelines. You've heard George Kittle and Baker Mayfield, but you know, even when I was there, they're very common. A lot of people do it pregame. You know, I've seen some coaches do it. I saw Carlos Polk, a former player, special teams coach, do it now recently. And it's ammonia capsules. You pop them, they turn pink, and they try and collect them on the sidelines. You'll see a lot in pregame. Strength and conditioning coaches used to hand them out. There's no question that smelling salts should never be used in conjunction with concussion evaluation or treatment for concussion. You don't want to mask symptoms of concussions by, ooh, I kind of got my bell rung, let me do smelling salts instead. That's a huge no-no, right? And no team would ever do that. But I think the league was simply reacting to the FDA saying smelling salts aren't necessarily what they're advertised to be. The FDA said, because they saw people marketing it for mental clarity and other things. And that it's like, you know, if you at home, if you want to open up a bottle of Clorox bleach and sniff it, that's kind of what the sensation it gives you. And it's very temporary. There's no big downside medical harm to it. You don't want to mask concussion symptoms to it. But the FDA was reacting to the marketing claims that people were making. And the NFL, having been sued over concussions, sued over Toradol, sued over pain medication, said, look, why go there? This is not medically proven stuff. And it's why have the appearance that we're using it to mask concussions? So they simply said teams are banned from providing it. But I had a discussion with an agent, I won't say who, whose player used ammonia inhalants and poppers. And I said, there's no way they can ban it. And what I mean by that is it's not illegal to go to a pharmacy or a drugstore and buy a bottle of Advil and take it whenever you want, including on the sidelines. The teams just aren't providing handfuls of Advil in the training room for you to grab whenever you want. And I told the agent that the player could just buy it over the counter and bring it. And that's now the news cycle, what it is. So it's a clerical thing from the NFL. It's a medical legal thing. It's kind of much ado about nothing, I think, in the end. It's not harmful. You shouldn't use it to mask things. But, you know, that's what we do. We try never too high, never too low, trying to interpret whether any medical information or injuries. And we have the insight of having been on the other side of the equation to do so.
All right. So as far as these, that's the same thing as like those ammonia buckets with the ice water with that, like where they have the towels on you put over your head. It's all the same.
Well, I don't know if they're doing ammonia. That's just ice buckets. These ammonia pop, the little caplets that you just squeeze and they pop, they give you a whiff of the gas. And look, you don't want to sit down there all day doing it. I mean, it's much ado about nothing.
It doesn't seem like much is going to change with all this stuff. All right, so let's talk about some of these players, and I have a few of them here, so we can just kind of rapid fire through them. You mentioned Stafford, so let's just start with Stafford. The people who are playing fantasy football not only worry about Matt Stafford's health, but they worry about, you know, what's going to happen to these guys that I draft on the Rams, like if I draft Puka Nacua or Davante Adams and stuff. You know, I'm not drafting those guys to have Jimmy G throw him the football, right? I want Stafford to be the one doing it. You were kind of on the show last year. You were putting up some warning flags. It feels like this back has been something where there's been warning flags for a long time. But I guess he got an epidural. What is your worry meter on Stafford? Where's he at right now?
First of all, I really appreciate working with you guys. You guys are the fantasy experts. I'm just an injury expert. So I'm trying to give you all the injury take And then what that means for fantasy, that's you guys, right? That's what you guys do, right? That's not me per se. But I will say that obviously we're probably the main source of how injuries factor into fantasy. One side note before we start talking about Matthew Stafford, one of the new products we have this year at Sports Injury Central is a fantasy injury calculator. So what we do is it's not about the health of one running back versus another. Yes, we include a 6 score on that running back, but we include in that fantasy injury calculator the health of each running back's offensive line against the defensive front 7 for that week.
Oh,
for
good.
Wide receivers, it's the health of the quarterback offensive line against the health of the DBs and the pass rushers, right? And so it's a week-to-week adjustment to fantasy, whether it's DFS or whatever. Look, if you have Saquon Barkley in your traditional fantasy league, I don't care what his 6 score is. You got to play the guy, right? Because it's Saquon. But I'm talking, you know, you're trying to figure out who's your RB2 or 3 or your wide receiver, you know, whatever. It's the only place to quickly look at not only the player's health, but the health of the offensive line, the health of the defense that week. And so it can help you make some adjustments. For Matthew Stafford right now, even prior to the announcement of epidurals and a disc issue, we've been on the Sports Injury Central podcast saying you don't just show – it's almost better if you have a transverse process fracture in your back because it's a finite period of time and you'll be back and there won't be any worries. This is not that. We suspected it was a disc and nerve issue all along because of the way it appeared in the offseason. And indeed, that's been confirmed by Ian Rappaport now, epidurals. Let me give you the range. I'm not looking at his MRI, et cetera. I know there was just some news where Sean McVay said he's going to work out pregame and he's slated to practice Monday. But this is also the same coach that said it was no big deal day to day and revised that to week, right? And what are the best and worst case scenarios with a herniated disc in a quarterback? Let me give you two comps. A worst case scenario, Tony Romo ended up with a disc issue in season, not preseason, in season, had surgery and missed the rest of the season. Phillip Rivers in 2014, my quarterback, had epidural steroid injections multiple in 2014, never missed a game. Phillip Rivers has the very famous Iron Man streak. Yes. Matt Stafford, I think, is number 2 on that list of Iron Man streak. So let's hope he's closer to Phillip Rivers than he is to Tony Romo. But, you know, if he has surgery, and I'm not saying he needs it, he won't be done. He could come back in 3 months. But what does that do to your fantasy team? I mean, 3 months, right?
Right.
And it remains to be seen how significant this disc issue is. But I would say some caution. If you're ranking 2 quarterbacks, Matthew Stafford and another, the same, I would exercise caution here. If you have a Rams wide receiver, another wide receiver, the same, I would exercise some caution here. But I'm not saying don't draft Matthew Stafford. I'm not saying don't draft Puka Nacua. I'm just saying on a relative sense, sometimes you want to take the safer guy and so forth.
Well, one guy that fantasy drafters don't feel particularly safe about right now for another reason outside of injury is Rashi Rice. Of course, he's got the looming suspension. But I was noticing in the preseason preview when I was looking at the 6 scores for these guys, like I kind of popped out. I forgot what it was, but it popped out to me. I'm like, man, that's kind of like that's not very good. He had a worse 6 score than a lot of wide receivers. I mean, we know he's coming off the major injury and all the rest. But what is there any, like besides just the suspension, are there things to worry about with Rashi Rice?
That's one of the things that's very hard for us to deal with. We deal with injuries, but injuries are basically availability as well. And certainly suspensions affect availability, right? And so it's a hard one for us to judge and to read the tea leaves on that. But just from his knee perspective,
he has a groin lately too.
Yeah, he's a groin, which is, you know, likely aggravation on top of it. I would be surprised if he were 100% on his knee, given the type of ligament injury that he had. I'm not saying he can't or won't play, but we're more guarded on Rashi Rice with or without the suspension than most people out there. Until I see him do it and see great practice video of his ability to cut off that knee on a dime, I mean, this is the NFL. I don't see him as 100%. And that's why in the injury preview, we have him downgraded somewhat.
Okay. What about how worried are you about Joe Mixon? Because like he's got, so he just, I think he just turned 29. So he's getting up there as far as the running back age cliff. And I don't have his full injury history pulled up right now, but I do. I mean, it feels like, Doc, he's had a bunch of issues with his foot before. I think he had
He had an ankle issue last year, and yep. You know, I don't have my notebook in front of me either, et cetera, but he had an ankle injury last year. Now he's out with a foot injury. Here's what we've been saying is significant, and you'll see it in the injury preview on Joe Mixon. What's significant is, first of all, of course, we don't know what exactly his injury is. Now, remember, there is no injury reporting mechanism right now. It's just coaches can say what they want to say. Players can say what they want to say. Agents can say what they want to say. There's no official reporting at all right now till the season starts. But here's the key. It's said to be a foot. It was an ankle before. Is that just a naming thing? I don't know. But I think it's significant that he was placed on NFI. Here's a vested veteran. If it were an injury from lingering from last year, he would be on PUP. Mm. NFI, non-football injury, is an injury. It could be an injury that happened away from the facility with football. But the bottom line is it implies it's a new and different injury than last year. We don't have any details on it. And think about this. I've been there before. If a player – there's no way a player can get ready for the NFL season by only working out under the auspices of the NFL team. Even when the OTAs have started, you work out off campus because it's only like it starts twice a week. You know, you're working out every day. So every time you hurt yourself weightlifting, you do something else, I promise you, teams don't slap NFI on you. When you put NFI on you, that means there's the possibility the team cannot pay you if the injury lingers into the season. Najee Harris was NFI. Not PUP because of the fireworks incident. And I think it's eyebrow raising and noteworthy that Mixon was NFI. I don't know the reason for the NFI, but that indicates potential friction between him and the team. And what really is this injury? I don't know, but I would be cautious with Joe Mixon at this point in time.
You know what? I didn't even think to put, and I have a bunch more guys on my list, so we can just like, maybe we can just go through.
I'm sorry. I talked too long. Sometimes.
No. It's just like your time is so valuable and you're going from like giving surgeries to do this and more surgeries. So, but I want to make sure we hit. I didn't put Najee Harris down on mine. How do you even deal with something like an eye?
Let me tell you why it's a big deal. I saw something on the internet or Twitter, which can be dangerous. He was at practice with some sort of visor shield on. And as they zoomed in, they were saying his left eye wasn't fully open or this, that, the other. I don't know what his fireworks injury was. Is it a detached retina? Is it more superficial? Whatever it is. Let me tell you about the importance of having binocular vision. Okay. The importance of having two eyes as opposed to just one is it gives you depth perception. Okay. Very difficult to catch a pass without depth perception. Yeah. Very difficult to analyze the depth of holes and pursuit angles and closing angles of defenders instantaneously without depth perception. I'm not saying Najee Harris only has one eye. I'm not saying he'll never see normally again. But it's not like, well, he's got another eye. What's the big deal? It is a big deal to have binocular vision. And, of course, he's losing lots of training camp time with a new team, and they've got a rookie in there and whatever that's highly touted and drafted.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's going to factor in some of your decision-making in terms of what it is. It's certainly costing him time. And this is one of the things we said when it was the beginning. We didn't say, oh my gosh, he lost an eye because he had to go to Stanford. It's common to go get a second opinion. And no one said he was life flighted or helicoptered to Stanford. He did go for a second opinion. But what his agent didn't say was telling. He said, no big deal, nothing, pardon the pun, to see here, but he's fine for the regular season. And our immediate question is, what about training camp, right? And now he's missed substantial parts of training camp. So his story remains to be written, but once again, it's a big deal to have binocular vision or vision out of both eyes.
when Harbaugh is saying, you know, we're praying for the guy and stuff, it just has weird vibes to it. How worried are you? I noticed one that I thought was interesting is Colston Loveland, the rookie for the Chicago Bears. I don't know what the exact injury he had was, but I know it had to do with the shoulder. It looks like I think he's back. You know, I've seen clips of him back out there practicing now. But you guys have a pretty low score on him.
Well, yeah, sometimes the low scores. Now, bear in mind on the injury preview, sometimes the scores are low until we know what's happening, and it's a live document. And you go and refresh it online. We'll update Loveland's score and everyone's score, Rashee Rice's score, as it goes. So it's a living document. And so depending on what day your draft is, you know, you can recheck it, et cetera. And one of the difficulties about preseason is even though reporters may be there, there's no video allowed. They're not allowed to film it and post it.
Right.
And so you get a lot of reports. You remember the oh my gosh, Justin Fields was carted off the field. And I heard a lot of his Achilles. It's his this, it's his that. I'm like, look, in the training camp and in the preseason, there are more carts used because the training rooms often are not right next to the fields because you need more fields. A lot of times it's a cart ride of convenience. Let's not say cart it off and judge that as the end of the world. And with Justin Fields, when they said it was a dislocated toe, we said, which toe? As soon as it was non-big toe, we said, he's back well ahead of week one. He's already basically back, although he may not be 100% yet. But not a big deal. So we read the tea leaves all sorts of ways. We'd love to have video, and that's our advantage in season. When there are games, we have the video. And one thing we're going to do new this year to get a jump on things is instead of waiting till Monday afternoon when coaches speak to put out our podcast, we're going to roll live with it as soon as we're down to one game in the afternoon on Sundays before Sunday night football, because we'll have inventory of a dozen games already to talk about. And then we'll do a podcast update on Monday after the coaches. So, you know, people, fantasy waiver wire and other things can get a jump on that.
Perfect. All right. So just two more topics and I'll let you out of here, Doc. The first one, but it is kind of like a three player top. It's just the 49ers wide receivers, right? Ayuk, where are you on him? And then do you have any worries at all about Juwan Jennings, who had a re-aggravation. I forgot it was a calf or a shin. I forgot, but it was something that happened in OTAs. But Ricky Pearsall looks like he's kind of back and doing okay. Where are you on the 49ers wide receivers? I guess Ayuk specifically.
Well, I always like to talk about good news. I'm not worried about Ricky Pearsall. That lung issue was superficial. It wasn't lung cavity. He should be full go and not an issue there. Juwan Jennings, I mean, it's re-aggravation of a muscle injury. Muscle injuries, they can linger. The only good news is it happened early, right? And so you've got more time, but we got to see. But the least optimism is on Ayuk, I mean, coming off the ACL. That's the one, I mean, he's a second half. I mean, I think he can get to be Brandon Ayuk again, but it might be the second half of the season. So you have to factor that in. So if I have to rank in terms of health, it's Pearsall, Jennings, Ayuk last in terms of 49er wide receivers.
And then finally, another guy who people are worried about because of his quarterback situation and maybe the whole offensive situation there is Michael Pittman for the Colts. I forgot exactly what it was you said, and I wouldn't have known the word anyway, but in the injury preview, it was a little bit jarring. It was like, something about his back. What is it?
He had a back injury that was rumored to need surgery. He didn't need surgery. That's good news, but it can flare up again. Look, I hope he doesn't. I actually know Michael's dad. He was a great running back and his team position for a little bit. I wish Michael very well, but I'll let you in on a little secret. I am no fantasy expert. I actually do one fantasy team a year because just to get into it. And it's the Scott Fishbowl. We have already drafted a long time ago. I forget which round. Yes, it was a lower round, but I did take Alec Pierce, if that answers your question.
Oh, gosh. You even though you know the guy's dad, huh? Okay. Well
look, I'm trying to look.
Try to win.
Fantasy drafts has nothing to do with you know, I mean, taking anything personally, right? And I said, look, I'm glad to hear he did not need back surgery. I'm just saying, I mean, Alec Pierce was, I forget which round it was. It might have been round 17 or 18. I'm doing that off of memory. Like, he started to be a pretty good bargain there, especially with potential Michael Pittman issues. But he is a great receiver, no question.
He's the great doctor at Pro Football Doc on X is where you can find him. SickScore.com. You can get 100% off a Sick Picks annual subscription. You can use the promo code RosterWatch over there and make sure and take advantage of that discount. Take advantage of all the great tools they have over there. We certainly use them a ton. Doc, we can't thank you enough for coming on today. Wish you the best of luck this season. We'll certainly be following you over there on X, brother.